Tonight, the GOP's massive tax plan revealed. It includes major cuts, and we're digging into what it means for you and your family. How much would you save, and who are the winners and losers? That could depend on where you live. Brand new fallout from a stunning turn in the Mueller investigation after revelations of a Trump campaign staffer pleading guilty. New questions swirling around Attorney General Jeff Sessions, what he did during the campaign, and what he later said under oath before Congress. Plus a deadly rampage at a Walmart.
They have a shooter inside the store.
The gunman opening fire seemingly at random. Why did he do it? TripAdvisor accused of censoring customer reviews, deleting warnings about sexual assault at popular resorts. What the company is saying about that tonight. And it's something that works wonders for treating dozens of diseases, so why is it so often thrown away? There's new advice for everyone having a baby.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening from Los Angeles to our viewers here in the West. With great fanfare, Republicans in Congress announced their plan to dramatically overhaul the U.S. tax code today, a business-friendly blueprint for tax cuts that also carries a promise to lower the tax bite on middle-income families. And whether it does that is a tricky question that had us crunching the numbers today, as well as doing a little geography, because the plan also puts the brakes on some popular deductions that folks in high-cost and high-taxed parts of the country particularly depend on. Our Casey Hunt has details.
We are giving them a big, beautiful Christmas present in the form of a tremendous tax cut.
President Trump and Republicans in Congress today rolling out the biggest rewrite of the tax code in a generation, racing to pass a bill that will affect every American family, turning seven tax brackets into four, doubling the standard deduction, increasing the child tax credit, and preserving 401k retirement savings plans.
This is a middle income tax reduction.
But it's not necessarily that clear cut. The bill slashes the corporate tax rate to 20% from 35%. It eliminates the estate tax, helping wealthy Americans. And it ends deductions that many families rely on for medical expenses, student loans, and state and local taxes.
It's such a complex, comprehensive issue that you can't just go in for 1 hour and get it all and say, oh, okay, looks fine.
Whether it's good for you will depend a lot on where you live. Take the Flowers family. In Creston, Iowa, they're living well on $80,000. Their three-bedroom house costs $87,000. Under the new plan, their standard deduction will double, saving them money. But the plan could hurt the Woods family in Long Island, New York, also making $80,000. Right now, they itemize their taxes, writing off the mortgage interest on their $500,000 home and deducting their high state and local taxes. But under the new plan, they'll be forced to pay more because they'll lose that state and local deduction. At least four Republicans are already opposed, and House Speaker Paul Ryan can only lose 22 Republican votes.
If Republicans can't get this done, do you deserve to control the Congress?
We're going to get this done because we told the American people this is what we're going to do if we get this majority, and guess what? We're doing it.
Democrats already attacking the plan as a giveaway for wealthy Americans.
This bill is sort of like a dead fish. The more it sits in the sun, the more it stinks.
After the bill was released today, the stock market closed at a record high. But this is just the beginning of a long and complicated process. And if they do manage to get a bill to the president's desk, it's likely to look a lot different than it does today. Lester.
Casey Hunt on Capitol Hill tonight. Thank you. Now to the new questions surrounding Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Democrats demanding an explanation over why Sessions did not disclose under oath a 2016 meeting where a campaign aide proposed using Russian contacts to set up a meeting between then-candidate Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. We get more from NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker.
Just days after the world learned George Papadopoulos, a volunteer Trump campaign aide, pled guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russian officials who offered him dirt on Hillary Clinton, the ripple effect, with Attorney General Jeff Sessions under fresh scrutiny tonight. A source familiar with Sessions' thinking tells NBC News, during the campaign, Sessions rejected a proposal by Papadopoulos to use Russian contacts to set up a meeting meeting between then-candidate Donald Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin. According to court documents, Papadopoulos floated the idea during this meeting, chaired by Sessions and attended by Mr. Trump. It's significant because Sessions told Congress in June he'd never had any conversations with Russians or foreign officials about interference and...
Further, I have no knowledge of any such conversations by anyone connected to the Trump campaign.
My sources are telling me that Jeff Sessions rejected the idea of a Trump-Putin meeting and then moved on.
But some Democrats on Capitol Hill are demanding more answers.
He seems to have a problem remembering about meeting with Russians, and that's important because the Russian interfered with our elections.
Sessions first came under fire after failing to disclose two contacts with the Russian ambassador during his Senate confirmation hearing in January. He then defended himself in a hearing last month.
I have not seen anything that would indicate a collusion with Russians.
And there's more fallout involving Papadopoulos and Russia. Another former campaign aide, Sam Clovis, withdrawing his name to be top scientist at the Agriculture Department after revelations he also had conversations about Russians with Papadopoulos. Clovis saying his decision to withdraw was prompted by the political climate inside Washington.
And today, Paul Manafort, who was indicted for charges ranging from conspiracy to money laundering, was back in court along with his former deputy, Rick Gates. A federal judge saying both are a flight risk and have to remain in home confinement and continue to wear their monitoring devices. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thank you. Also in Washington today, President Trump made it official, nominating Federal Reserve Board member Jerome Powell as the next chair of the U.S. Central Bank. If he's confirmed by the Senate, he'll succeed Janet Yellen when her term ends in February. It's the first time in decades a new president has not renominated a sitting Fed chair for another term. In Colorado tonight, a search for answers after a gunman went on a rampage inside a Walmart, opening fire seemingly at random. After a massive manhunt and a high-speed chase, police have a suspect in custody. The question so many there are asking, why did he do it? Here's NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer.
The manhunt for a killer came to an end after a high-speed chase. Police arresting 47-year-old Scott Ostrom.
They have a shooter inside the store.
Investigators believe Ostrom calmly walked into this Denver area Walmart and began shooting shoppers.
Are you okay?
Dozens fled for their lives, but three were killed. Carlos Moreno was shopping with his daughter and wife. Victor Vasquez was a young father of two with another child on the way. Pamela Marquez loved spending time with her family.
I was scared with everything that's going on in the world and everything. It's just kind of freaking me out.
In the chaos, a cashier hid a little girl under her register.
Victim down inside the store.
Police launching a dragnet, catching the suspect 14 hours later as he returned to his home.
And the Thornton police officers were right on his tail as they saw it coming by.
Tonight, the suspect under arrest, but no motive for a random shooting that targeted innocent lives.
When police arrived here at the crime scene and reviewed surveillance tape, they quickly realized multiple customers inside the Walmart drew their own concealed weapons to protect themselves. That added to the confusion, but tonight they say only the suspect opened fire. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer in Colorado, thank you. New details are now emerging from the investigation into the deadly terror attack in New York City. Tonight, we're learning more about the suspect and his past as authorities add new safety measures to the site of the attack. Let's get the latest from NBC's Gadi Schwartz.
On a path where people carry on their daily routines so close to the World Trade Center, today a new memorial to more victims of terrorism. Here, school across the street is back in session.
So you didn't have to come to school, but you wanted to come to school.
Yeah.
Children need routine, and they need, you know, the normal things.
Now another layer of protection as more than 50 concrete barriers are being installed along the bike path. A few miles away, Saiful Saipov is in custody on a charge of terrorism. A criminal complaint stating that he planned his attack on Halloween because he believed there would be more civilians on the street wanting to head to the Brooklyn Bridge to continue to strike pedestrians.
Oh, my God!
Until he crashed into this school bus. Friends who knew him in Ohio and Florida described Saipov as a hothead who was prone to angry outbursts, but otherwise friendly.
You step outside to drink some coffee or smoke a cigarette.
Investigators asking whether anyone had known about his plans, questioning one of his friends and his wife, and finding phones filled with ISIS propaganda. Authorities also revealing that Saipov wanted to display ISIS flags on the truck and even asked to hang an ISIS flag in his hospital room, saying he felt good about what he had done. Today, President Trump calling for the death penalty on Twitter and backing away from an earlier suggestion that he would consider sending Saipov to the military prison at Guantanamo Bay.
I promise you that how we treat Mr. Saipov in this judicial process will say a lot more about us than it will say about him.
This is the families of eight victims mourn those killed in his attack. At a vigil in Argentina, friends wept as they remember the five former classmates who were killed. Everything's been destroyed in a second. The Argentine consulate in New York comforting survivors, some of them seen in this video on the bike path before the attack.
The survivors are here, are really still shocked.
And tonight in the neighborhood, more prayer and resolve that life will go on.
And Lester, here along the river, something remarkable is happening. These are families lighting candles, part of this crowd, in view of the World Trade Center and the Statue of Liberty off in the distance. This crowd is ready to walk down this path and reclaim this mile where these attacks took place. Lester,
an important moment there tonight. All right, Gadi Schwartz in New York, thank you. Tonight, we're learning more about the massive scale and impact of the Russian effort on social media to influence American voters. A new report finds more celebrities and newsmakers unknowingly shared and amplified false claims planted on platforms like Twitter, some of whom you may follow in your own feed. NBC's Jolene Kent has the story.
Tonight, more influential Americans sharing social media posts backed by the Russians in the lead up to the election. Famous Twitter users with big followings, from Ivanka Trump to journalists Jake Tapper and Chris Hayes to comedians Trevor Noah and Sarah Silverman, shared tweets that came from nearly 37,000 accounts linked to Russia. Facebook also now admitting 150 million Americans may have been exposed to Russian posts like this one. Both Facebook and Twitter say the posts linked to Russia were a small fraction of what Americans saw during the election. But both platforms allowed the Russians to target Americans by zip code, interests, and background, in effect weaponizing the posts to influence very influential people. That precise targeting, the reason why Facebook's ad revenue jumped 50% since last year, bringing in more than $10 billion in the last 3 months. Zuckerberg told investors last night he would not put profits over people.
We built these tools to help people connect and to bring us closer together. And they use them to try to undermine our values. What they did is wrong, and we are not going to stand for it.
The new revelations come after Congress grilled tech executives about Russia's attempt to meddle in the election on social media.
Do you believe that any of your companies have identified the full scope of Russian active measures on your platform?
Senator, our investigation continues, so I would have to say no.
Congress is now considering legislation that would require social media companies to disclose who is buying political ads, similar to TV, radio, and newspapers. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Washington.
There's controversy tonight surrounding TripAdvisor, the popular vacation planning site a lot of people use, is accused of censoring customer reviews, deleting posts in which people warned about allegations of crimes at popular resorts. NBC's Blake McCoy has the story and the company's response.
A fun trip to Cancun, Mexico, celebrating Nolan Webster's college graduation, turned tragic when he was found unconscious in the hotel swimming pool.
They did nothing to help him and left him dead beside the pool for 4 hours.
Nolan's mother, Maureen, desperately searched for answers and tried to warn others, writing on the popular travel review site TripAdvisor, only to find her posts about the hotel deleted. Now, an investigation by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel finding dozens of other travelers reporting rejected posts containing allegations of tainted alcohol, blackouts, even rape.
I think it's borderline criminal what they're doing.
TripAdvisor uses computer algorithms and staff to monitor reviews and tells us tonight they used to require that posts be family friendly. The company says it recognized our previous guidelines went too far and now allows more descriptive reviews. In Maureen's case, they add she wasn't on the trip and they only allow first-hand accounts.
Consumers are starting to understand that reviews can be manipulated on these sites. And I think the level of trust is decreasing slowly.
Now, 10 years after Nolan Webster's death, Maureen is encouraging travelers researching online to dig deeper. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
And still ahead tonight, life-saving gift. Parents now being urged to save something usually thrown away after their babies are born. And doctors say it can have amazing health benefits. We're going to tell you about that. Also, the intriguing new mystery about Egypt's Great Pyramid after an amazing discovery is made inside. We're back now with medical news about something we're all born with, but that is routinely thrown away. Doctors are raising awareness about umbilical cord blood that has remarkable benefits for adults as well as children. And for the first time, they're advising new parents to donate this life-saving blood. NBC's Rahema Ellis reports on a conversation every expecting mom should have with her doctor.
It's hard to imagine that 7-year-old Valentina De Leon once struggled with a rare life-threatening immune deficiency. What saved her? A donation of umbilical cord blood rich in stem cells that regenerated her immune system.
It was amazing. It was just, I can't explain it.
It changed my life and our baby's life forever.
Studies show cord blood can be powerfully effective in treating dozens of diseases, including leukemia, sickle cell, and certain genetic disorders. And yet, this blood is usually thrown away.
You could really save a life of someone with a fatal disease who had no other options.
Now, new guidelines urge doctors to talk to every pregnant woman about donating. Also, patients are encouraged to use public cord blood banks that are free instead of private storage that can cost more than $2,000.
Will this change the way you counsel your patients?
This will definitely change how I counsel patients about cord blood collection.
Doctors hope it increases life-saving donations.
There's no pain whatsoever. The cord blood is collected after the baby's delivered and the cord is already cut and clamped.
It doesn't cost any money. It's just love that you're giving to another family like us.
Making parents more aware that at the beginning of life, there's a chance to save another life. Rahema Ellis, NBC News, New York.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, the massive safety recall on something millions of Americans rely on in an emergency. A major safety recall tonight. More than 40 million fire extinguishers being recalled because they might not work when you need them. They were made by a company called Kidde from 1973 through this year. They can become clogged and fail to spray, or the nozzle can come off with enough force to hurt someone. The company says it's cooperating with the government to handle the recall and replace the extinguishers. We've put a little more information on our website about specific models and how you can get a free replacement. Overseas tonight, a mysterious discovery in Egypt's Great Pyramid. Scientists using an imaging technique based on cosmic rays say they've detected a hidden structure inside the massive Great Pyramid of Giza. But they don't know what it was used for or what's in it. It's about 100 feet long, and it's the first major structure found inside the Great Pyramid since the 19th century. Big mystery there. Now there's a way to enjoy the kaleidoscope of those fall colors, even if you're colorblind. Special viewfinders have been installed in Tennessee with high-tech lenses that allow those who are colorblind to see the vibrant fall foliage. Some have been overcome with tears, taking in all that beauty for the first time in their lives. And we appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching. And good night.